This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
He's out there, obviously provoking Muslims.
Definitely.
Why did you come here today?
Burn Quran, which I'm going to burn down the road here.
You can't burn the word of God.
This person's nickname is the Quran burner.
No matter what you do, you try to extinguish the light of Allah. Allah will perfect his light.
I'm defending my country from becoming...
How? By burning someone's book?
No.
Brother Eddie, there was a rally against him.
That's good.
And it was non-Muslims who showed up. The people of Norway, the youngsters, non-Muslims. So
why are you against this then?
We respect religion and freedom.
It's not freedom to burn the Quran.
We have one God, his name's Allah, Allah. And his final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the Deen Show, I'm Eddie, your host. And we're going to be talking about this book that's been sent down as a guidance to mankind. And you got somebody burning it. And we got the man himself who confronted the guy who's trying to burn the Quran, not knowing that it's a book that's supposed to be read, understood, and lived by. And it's a guidance for him and the whole world. And you actually, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Eddie, the Deen Show. Who knew for defending the Deen of Allah, you'd come on the Deen Show? That's crazy. That is crazy. You know, even to bring up that person, it's such a traumatic thing to think about. But Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Sheikh. I'm so happy to be here. It's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Nice having you, my brother.
Thank you.
So we started off with, the Quran, verbatim word of God Almighty, yeah. Sent down for all of mankind. It's a book that if you look at it, compiled over 23 years, it's a living miracle.
The embryo in the Quran cannot be based on scientific knowledge in the 7th century. Discovered until the 20th century. These facts could only have been revealed to Muhammad by the one known who knows all about us.
For anyone who sincere puts it to the test, not only the scientific miracles, the prophecies, the authenticity, it's like no other book in the world. And if anyone takes a sincere, humble approach to it, they will see that this is the blueprint for life. Yeah. Now you got somebody trying to burn the book, and you actually... You went and met with this Quran burner?
Yes, the Quran. That's literally, you know, Brother Eddie, one of the things that human beings crave is importance, you know, and how we choose to go about achieving that importance is what defines us and determines how our character and how we act upon. You know, look at the life of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at how he was gained importance and garnered importance. He was known as Al-Sadiq Al-Amin. That's what, you know, people understood him and knew him as the most honest, most trustworthy, most truthful person there was. Okay, this person's nickname is the Quran burner. Like, look at the difference over here. And it's just so sad because you want to talk sense into a person. And you want to talk to them like, hey, okay, look. You don't want to be a Muslim, no problem. You might not even agree with what the Quran is saying. That's another problem, no worries. But you don't have to hurt or harm someone. You don't gotta, you know, make someone feel that way. And the argument on his end is like, I don't care about your feelings. It's feelings, it's facts, not feelings. But I'm like, the fact is that you're hurting someone's feelings. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if anyone could take any type of, you know, advice or guidance or something, non-Muslim, someone sincere out there, is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to perfect our manners, our character. So the moment you start doing things that are out of character, out of manners, out of the way that he was sent to teach us how to act, you're doing something wrong, Muslim or not Muslim. You're behaving in a manner that's very animalistic, and may Allah guide him, honestly.
I mean, we want the best for him, for all of mankind.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, so you're there. What was your impression? What was your analyzation of the man there that now people are seeing he's out there obviously provoking Muslims?
Yeah, definitely.
And what is your take on it when you got to spend some time with it? Is he mentally there? Is he sound of what he's doing?
That's a very reasonable question to ask, Eddie, because when you think about it, right, like only a person deluded, deranged would do and behave in a certain manner like that, right? He's a grandpa. And you know what? Part of me feels actually very upset and guilty on how I spoke to him to some degree, because he's my elder. And I was conflicted between him. You know, when he would say something hurtful towards Allah and his messenger, it upsets you, you know? But, you know, professionally, I'm also a school teacher. You know, not many know that, but I teach in the Department of Education in New York City. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, barakallah, may Allah accept. And, you know, my character is what gives the da'wah, you know? But it's like that student who provokes, who pokes and pokes and pokes and provokes. And when the other student retaliates out of being finally frustrated, the teacher sees the kid who retaliated, but not the person poking the whole time. And the person who's poking the whole time, you see, I didn't do it. This person is quick. So that's what this guy wants. He wants a reaction from Muslims, from people, to behave in a violent and angry way. I mean, like, I was kind of low-key roasting him. I'm not proud of how I did it, but I just couldn't help myself. But, you know, people who will be physically violent with him or something like that, please don't behave that way. That's not how to do
things. No, we don't advocate that.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And honestly, we were trying to have an intellectual conversation with him. So going back to his mental state, he seems like he has his beliefs and opinions already. And I don't think it's him. I think it's his teachers. Because when I was asking him parts of, hey, you know, where did you learn this from? He would say, oh, I learned this in the Quran. I learned this from the tafsir. I learned this from, the Sahih Bukhari. I said, listen, bro, like when you are learning something as a teacher, I can't just give you a book of pre-algebra or some type of calculus book and just say, good luck. You know, you need a teacher. You need an instructor. You need someone to guide you through it, to help you. And that's the best of creation, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what we understand him to be. He taught us. He every verse of revelation has a time and date, and we understand its context. You know, what else could you want? You know, what an amazing teacher. So his teachers have corrupted him. Mm-hmm. And the corruption in the heart, and may Allah soften his heart and guide him. He's a grandpa, you know. I don't want his grandchildren to be seeing this and being raised on this. May Allah guide him, seriously.
Yeah, what kind of legacy? What are you leaving behind? One of hate, intolerance. And I'm sure the brothers there probably tried to invite him into the future 1,000%. Masjid there. Let's 1,000%. Sit, let's talk, 1,000%. Let's reason together.
Absolutely, absolute 1,000%, man. Yeah. And that's all we want. That's all we want. We want to talk to you. Like, hey, okay, if you're not about this, what is the issue that you're having with it? Let's sit down with some of our best scholars. And if I don't know the answer for it, let's get you the help for it. But Brother Eddie, if I have to say this just from, you know, from my experience with this brother, like, we try to see the good in everyone. You know, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the strongest, right, like a stronger believer, or a stronger believer is better than a weak one, you know. But there's good in both, you know? It would be sad and upsetting of me to look at any human being and just look at them with the eye of, you know? Because that's not how you give da'wah to anyone. And I know you're working on the Deen Center, and I'm sorry, I have to plug it in. I'm sorry. Brother Eddie, I'm sorry. I have to plug it in. Ya hala, ya hala, ya hala.
Alright guys, so we signed everything here. Bismillah. Now we're off to the next step. We gotta get the keys now.
Ya hello, 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 ya hello
جمعة الخير هلا حني قلبي على جمعة الخير هلا يا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا يا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا حني قلبي على جمعة الخير هلا حني قلبي على جمعة الخير هلا بالحب اجتمعنا وربنا يحييكم بالحب اجتمعنا وربنا يحييكم مرحبا ويا هلا فيكم انتم منا واحنا فيكم بالمحبة نحييكم يا هلا ويا هلا يا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا يا هلا ويا هلا ويا
Of Muslims around here, it's pretty huge, and the place, the location that you opened in, basically it's further south from the other big masajid, and everyone, I know a lot of people that I come, my cousin lives 9 minutes from here, another uncle of mine lives about 5 to 10 minutes from here. This area, yani the masjid, alhamdulillah, opened up in an area that it's much needed, and this size, yani this. Yeah, this center is much needed for this area, and the idea of this center is needed for the whole state, because we don't have anything like that in the whole state, a da'wah center where it's going to basically nurture and basically educate, and it's going to basically spread Islam.
An incredible initiative, by the way, right? Revolutionizing. And I went there because of IslamNet, which is a, you know, amazing organization who's doing a Dawah Center over there.
And Allah bless their project.
I mean. And it's nothing but love from you guys as well, too. But you guys are going to be in the south of the United States, where there's a ton of Islamophobia, hate, misconceptions. Like, the Deen Center will be in the most perfect position, mashallah, barakallah, to give Dawah to America. Because through Florida and through that area, around the highway and the positioning of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just blessed it. So, may Allah bless that project and all the projects as well. That's what we want. We want to invite him towards Islam. And more than anything, we wanted to, you know, dispel these myths that he has in his mind, because we want him to come to Islam. Mm-hmm. And not from the perspective of just being a Muslim, but like, you know, it's not right to have someone's rights stripped away from them, you know, and tell them, hey, you can't wear the hijab, you can't cover up, you can't behave or dress a specific way because of your beliefs and values.
Tell me this.
Yeah.
We know this is something that's abhorrent and it's provocative. And do you have any, because I feel like if pressure was put on him to stop, he'd probably stop. Mm-hmm. We don't see much of this. Did you see the media coming out, the mainstream media, to cover this? I mean, and then the reaction from the locals there, how has that been? Yeah. Like, because we don't hear about this here.
Absolutely.
Because what happens is, you know, a lot of times when the pressure from the media kicks in, now some people go, you know, back into their hole. But we usually see this, the hypocrisy, the double standards. Imagine like a Muslim is out there burning the Quran. Yes. All mainstream media be covering it. They'd be, you know, in his home. They'd be, so do we see this kind of
like
pressure?
Like, imagine if a Muslim was burning a Bible or something like that. Okay, so one thing that we have to remember about Norway, Norway is second generation atheists at this point, right? And what's really interesting about that, and I didn't understand what that meant, because the brothers that over there in IslamNet, may Allah bless them, explained what that meant. But when I saw it in action is when I was just like, oh, that's what they mean. So it's the parents, and then their children have children, and they're also atheists, and now they're raising their children upon atheism, right? And the great work that not just what they're doing, but all the Dawah organizations in Norway, what they're doing, is that they're giving Dawah. And I like to tell people, Brother Eddie, and Dr. Sabil said this very beautifully in the dinner that we had, right? That, you know, someone asks, how do you give Dawah? How do you just like, do you just turn it on? Is there a flick? Is there a button? Like, you know, like how? The answer is simple enough. Like, you don't ask like, how do I be like, you know, a husband every day or a son every day? Like, you just are, you know? The best form of Dawah is communicating with people and living that, having that one-to-one experience. And when a person can feel and have that, relive that experience, that wow, like my actual interaction with the Muslim has been so positive. Anything that I've ever had has been negative about it, you know? And our goal is to provide that opportunity for everyone to have. So Going back to your question, which I forgot which it was because I went on the
right. Media. How is the media and the culture, the people there?
Perfect.
Are they putting pressure on him?
So Norway's second year atheist at this point, right? So they hide behind this idea of freedom of speech law. Okay, so there's a law that prevents them from asking freedom of speech. Now, when I went there, you know, look, one thing I'm known for, Brother Eddie, is I get gritty. I ask the tough questions. I go and ask those provoking type of questions to people. So I interviewed cops, and that's also over there as well, too. So you'll see how cops were and their feelings of it, you know, because some cops are just doing their job. And this person, the Quran burner, is technically protected under that law of freedom of speech. And I asked them, I said, hey, this person is burning a book. Do you not stop him? They said, the only way we'll stop him, and check this out, Brother Eddie, and this is like the important part that everyone needs to really be mindful of. They said, the only way we're going to stop him is if he is harming a tree, if that Quran now is setting fire to a tree, or it's about to harm a building.
Is this one of the countries that you have people who deny the Holocaust or they say anything against, you know, a certain group of people, they'll go to jail to get locked up. Is this one of the countries? I know many countries in Europe are like that. You go to jail for just denying a certain event.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Now,
a very sad event in history, and you deny it, and now you go to jail.
Yeah,
so here, it seems like people hide conveniently behind this freedom of speech, right? But we've seen how that go with certain events that have happened here. You talk about it, you get a strike, you get canceled, you can't bring up things, but you know, it seems like it's just a convenient card to play.
It looks, and you know what? That's a part of the media representation as well, too. And one thing that excites me about the video that I've posted at this point is that video conveys how upset the people of Norway are. They don't like him.
Okay, so that's good. That's a good thing.
Oh, Brother Eddie, there was a rally against him.
That's good.
And it was non-Muslims who showed up.
We commend you, people of Norway. Yes. That's it. More people need to stand up like that.
More people, definitely.
Definitely.
The people of Norway, the youngsters, non-Muslims. So in this video of mine that you see, I am asking... Basically, the question is, does Norway hate Muslims? And it's the Quran burner protest. And let me tell you, Brother Eddie, there's non-Muslims there. And they are absolutely against what he stands for.
Why are you against this then?
We respect religion and freedom.
Okay. Why are you against it? You're not a Muslim.
It's not okay to be like this.
To support them.
Yeah?
They're f***ing stupid.
It's not freedom to burn the Quran.
Yes.
It's not freedom.
Exactly.
And there's even cops there who are absolutely against what he stands for. But unfortunately, the law of Norway, he hides behind, right?
Yeah.
Like when I asked him very like straightforward, because he kept on accusing Muslims in that video of dualism and being someone to your face, but really being someone behind your back, right? Uh-huh. By the law, he's not allowed to say he hates a specific group, right? Because then you're officially, you know, indicting yourself almost and saying that I'm a hate preacher or something.
But you're burning the book.
But basically, but I know. It's a thin line. It's a very blurry line. Because then I ask the question of, if I speak about your mother or something like that, why would that upset you? And we know there's a blurred line of understanding that, there's certain lines you don't cross and you know someone's getting upset. Like, just chill. Just stop teasing. But you could tell he doesn't care. You know, when the cameras turn on, Brother Eddie, he becomes a different person. I personally believe he might be possessed. I'm being serious, you know. Mm-hmm. Jinn possessions, there's certain jinn and shayateen out there that are there to distract. We know from this authentic hadith about distracting us from our salah, you know, causing fights between husband and wife. Jinn and shayateen have specialities, and there's certain that cause you to drift away and further away and steer you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I don't put it past anyone, you know. Shayatan is over there, but when the cameras turn on, Eddie, Brother Eddie, he is just a different person and stuff like that. So the average Norwegian people, they do not like him, they don't stand for him, but the average Norwegian is uneducated about Islam. So yes, they came out to support us for the sake of supporting us, right? Because they don't like the fact, you know, that someone is being harmed. I like that. But they're also not educated. Because I also further ask them, what do you know about Islam?
What do you know about Islam?
Not some things I have learned from school and stuff. And I don't really know what to say.
What do you guys know about Islam?
Not much.
Nothing.
Not much?
I'm not sure.
What do you know about Islam? I think that face says it all.
You can't take it with you when you go. Or you can't take this with you when you go. And you can't take this with you when you go. Brothers and sisters, we're all going to depart from this life. And all of our material possessions to our money will stay behind. But your reoccurring investment in the Deen Center will continue to grow even when you leave this life. So go ahead and make that reoccurring investment in a Masjid and Mega Dawah Center that will benefit you in this life and in the next. Click the link below. Donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
عهدا علينا أسود العرين نمضي أماما.
And that's where they would struggle, right? Yeah. And they have Muslim friends, by the way. They do. But sometimes those Muslim friends might not be on the deen themselves. And they need to understand that they need to educate them and be friends with them. Yeah. That's an opportunity from Allah.
And that's why this is really important for this masjid, Islamic Dawah Center, educational center, this Islam Net, what they're doing. This is so important to establish that so these people can get educated. And then they're going to even support more, inshallah. You got the Abu Jahls that turn into Abu Talibs, even if they don't accept Islam.
Beautiful.
So because they see really what Islam is about. Tell me this, his car actually flipped, didn't it?
Yes.
And what was...
So subhanAllah. So when we all found out about his car flipping around, Brother Eddie, I want to explain to you. Like, I think that everyone obviously, look, nobody wants to see anyone get hurt, you know?
Yeah.
But this dude is such a clown. Like, I'm serious. Like, this dude is doing all that. It's like, if you ever see those YouTube videos that call instant karma videos,
yeah.
Like, his needs to make a special.
That's a good point. Instant karma videos.
You ever see, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, those instant karma. He literally needs to be in the next one. So, shout out any instant karma videos out there. You guys need to plug him in. That he's holding, burning a Quran. And the next one, he is literally in that same rally. He burned the Quran in front of a mosque. Like, look how intimidating this person's trying to be. He came, burned the Quran in front of the mosque. Imagine coming to Jumu'ah with your family, with your loved ones. You have beautiful children, by the way, Brother Eddie. I know you don't show them on camera. Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
Beautiful children. MashaAllah. Barakallah. You have one of the greatest, MashaAllah, champs who runs the entire thing. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you strength for your children.
Ameen.
And make them the coolness of your eyes. MashaAllah. Barakallah. Ameen. And, you know, it's a blessing. They're a blessing to have. Alhamdulillah. But man, you go there with your family. You want to go and pray, listen to the khutbah. You know, me and my children, we go to the deli afterwards and, you know, across the street from the masjid. Imagine us coming out of there. And we see this dude in a military outfit, man. Like, let's be trying to intimidate you with this military truck. And he has, like, the Quran. And he's waiting for you to come out. Drenched in kerosene. So it burns better. Look at the premeditated nature of this. Is this freedom of speech? Or is this some type of hatred in your heart? It reminds me of when they were trying to burn Ibrahim alayhi salam. They said, we're not just going to light the oil or the fire. No, we're going to light for days, right? Just like the fire, we're going to burn the fire for days. The same way Pharaoh wanted to burn the lady and the family and the children and the oil. He didn't just boil the oil. He boiled it for days, right? He's soaking it, marinating it like a chicken or a turkey on Thanksgiving. This dude, think about it. May Allah guide him.
I mean,
marinating it in kerosene. And then he brings it soaked up and lights it on fire. And you are with your children. My daughter would have to see that. Your children have to see that. Well, they know jujitsu, so mashallah, barakallah. They might tackle it. I learned a takedown yesterday, mashallah, barakallah. I'm so hyped. Brother Eddie, I'm so hyped, mashallah, barakallah. You're an excellent teacher, by the way, mashallah,
thank
barakallah.
You,
but, you know, you don't want to see that. You don't want to encounter that. So all of a sudden, they come out. This dude is burning the Quran. And then the people are getting upset at him. They're using language that's foul, obviously, because they're upset, obviously, understandably so. But may Allah forgive them as well. And they chase him out of there. Like, in like a coward grandpa, he just runs away. So while he's running away, driving away and all that sort of stuff, the people decide to tail him a little bit. A little GTA action, Brother Eddie. And then next thing you know, this dude, I shouldn't be laughing at this, it's like for love, but his car comes off the highway. And the instant karma kicks in and it just flips over. But alhamdulillah, he's okay, you know, for the most part. Allah gave him another opportunity to soften his heart and accept Islam and to guide him to a straight path. You know, imagine his platform that he has right now. And imagine if Allah really guided his heart and he accepted Islam. Subhanallah, Brother Eddie. Like, imagine the lives he could change and impact by Allah's permission, you know? Mm-hmm. Imagine, but it's truly this that's blind, and unless Allah opens it and guides you, it won't happen.
And people can take that to the next level if they're a Christian or of other faith, Jewish, and you imagine you're coming out of the synagogue, you're coming out of the church, and you got somebody in front of you doing what you just described. Yeah. Imagine that, the reaction, how you'd feel. You know, some people, and Muslims are being restrained. Muslims are being restrained. You know, you got some of these people, you know, would go to a whole nother level. You know what I mean? But Muslims are really showing constraint. They should show constraint, you know, no violence and stuff. So this is very sad to see. Hopefully, go ahead.
And one thing, Brother Eddie, you know, if this was happening to a Bible, if this was happening to a Torah, I would be equally as upset. I want to make that clear. And I think you would be as well too. And all Muslims should be. And let me make this clear.
We don't condone that either. Exactly.
Absolutely. Yes. And one thing for sure, and this brings up another topic. You know, I don't know why these situations always attract in my life, but a year ago from this point, Brother Eddie, you know, there was right there in downtown Chicago, you know where the Bean is, right? Downtown Chicago. There's these Hebrew Israelites that are out there, you know, downtown Chicago. And they have like their whole like hate speech stuff going on the microphones and that. And they have their cameras there too. And they have like a bunch of writing on the floor. If you ever come across them, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm listening to them and they're going on and on and on. And they had the Bible on the floor. And I saw the Bible on the floor. And I literally, Brother Eddie, went and objected to that. I said, hey, don't put your book on the floor like that. I'm telling the Hebrew Israelites, the book that they love, how it should be respected. Then my eyes go straight towards the Quran on the floor next to it. And I said, oh, hell no, I'm definitely not going to tolerate this. So I go and grab the Quran. And upon that, they try to stomp on my hand. Stomp on my hand, right? Okay. This is what people don't realize. Stop on my head. And then now I'm pleading with them. I said, okay, listen. Do your Hebrew Israelite thing. You want to tell people, say, call us Ishmael, all that you want to do. Bismillah, do that. But let me take this book off your hands. Don't treat it like this. You want to treat your... I take the Bible off your hands too. I'll be honest with you. But don't treat this book like that. Right? So what happens is I start ducking and trying to protect it. And they start stomping and pushing me off of it. This is downtown Chicago. And this is where this viral video just goes up for like 40 seconds. My phone was dead. All I could do, helpless, by myself against 12 goons. You've seen them. Traveling packs. And at this point, they're intimidating me. They have the camera from them on me right now. And they're just looking at each other. And they start stomping on the Quran. This is what they start doing. Astaghfirullah. Start stomping on the Quran. And I think when I met you at Ikna last year, I spoke to you briefly about this maybe as well too. And I tried to stop that and all that. And they knew that was my trigger. This is your Quran. And fling it across the street. And I get excited. Why? Alhamdulillah. Okay, whatever. I'm picking up the Quran. I got what I wanted. I got the Quran off of them. That was enough. They came and they pushed me out, snatched it back from me, and did the same thing again. Helpless. I felt like the foam on the sea. Nothing I could do. Went back actually recently. And they weren't saying anything this time. Alhamdulillah. But, you know, we can't condone this type of behavior. And the reason I share that with you is because of the Bible. We shouldn't condone anything against our Christian brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers and sisters. If there's some harm against them, that's incorrect. Like, for example, Brother Eddie, and I'm sorry for being so long-winded, but in France, we know there's a hijab ban. We all know that, right? I think that's pretty common news. Okay, in school. But did you know that they've also banned Sikhs from wearing their turbans? That's not right either. Do you know that they've also banned Christians from wearing their cross to represent their faith? That's not right either. You see, when Muslims...
That's France? You're talking about France?
In France. This is what the average person doesn't know. And this is the thing, Brother Eddie. When we only fight for our own cause rather than the rights and establishing the law of right and haq on land, how everyone deserves... Like, and look at Medina. Medina wasn't that way. You were allowed to represent your own faith. You know, people try to like... You know, there was Jews, Christians, and Muslims living in Medina. Alhamdulillah. We're allowed to. We can live. We're living together. It could be in harmony, alhamdulillah. But don't oppress us. Don't oppress us. You're banning the hijabs and those things as well too. Everyone has the right to have expression of their religion. And so what they're doing, the Muslims need to be against not just that, but everyone. Injustice to one is injustice to all. And we need to make sure we take care of that.
Yeah, absolutely. What was it in short that had you get to where you are today that you're so passionate about Islam. You got so many religions out there, man-made religions, and people get kind of turned away because they're like, they're all the same. And so what convinced you 100%, because you weren't always practicing, and some people can be like, okay, you were just born in a Muslim family, but just like myself, you know, I looked into all the different religions, and Islam, without a doubt, you know, if someone's sincere, they take an analytical, scientific approach, they'll see that this is indeed from the Creator. All this other stuff is man-made. So what did it for you about Islam that you're here today with us?
Brother Eddie, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to allow certain things to happen in our lives for us to mature and ripen to where He wants us to be. And when we go through these tests and difficulties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses those as opportunities to refine us as human beings, our character, our morals, our values. Alhamdulillah. You know, I was going through a lot of depression and sadness and anxiety. And I was actually just dealing with a ton of depression. And it was over, subhanAllah, a haram relationship that I was in that I had broken up from. And it had broken me down to the core that I went down back to the same lifestyle that I was living to, and it just didn't do it for me anymore. And I knew after trying to commit, you know, harm to myself one day, I don't want to say those words, might get demonetized, you know what I mean, and banned or whatever, but after, you know, trying to harm myself, I called out to the Creator before doing it in the shower, Brother Eddie. And I was just like, if there is something, just take me out of this, right? And guide me through this, whoever, whatever, I don't know. And if not, then let this be my last moment right now, and I don't want to do this anymore. And alhamdulillah, mashallah, barakallah, I was able to get out of that bathroom. And I knew that there was something bigger, deeper, something beyond us, something that's metaphysical. And as you can see, I studied multiple religions. This is from the Gita, the Sanskrit, the Hindu scripture. I have some things in Hebrew. I'm not trying to show sins, but like, you know, I have some things. But I studied other religions, other faiths, you know. Buddhism, going to them, but...
So you were really searching.
I was really searching, Brother Eddie. I was really searching by Allah's permission. I was really searching. I was searching for what it was.
Even though Islam was right under your nose?
Allah right under my nose.
I
experienced everything. Because Islam was the last thing I thought of. Because I viewed Islam to be backwards, without being full respect, with all due respect, you know? And I think that this is for another podcast, but I arrived to New York from Pakistan on September 10th, 2001, hours before 9/11. So I literally was raised in 9/11. I did not like Islam. There's a reason I am the way I am right now. And, you know, I think that's same for another podcast. I know we have a lot to do. But long story short, you know, I knew that there was something else out there. And the tranquility that no other book but the Quran could give me. No other book. No other book, Brother Eddie. The Quran was the only book that gave me that tranquility. I tried to serve my desires. I made my nafs as my Lord. And Brother Eddie, it rejected me. I made these tattoos as my Lord for happiness. It rejected me. I used the drugs, the alcohol as a way to... It rejected me. I was done. The women, it rejected me. I needed something else. I looked. Nothing made sense. It was either like some parts made sense, but then this part was just like, ah, what's that all about? And then the effect that I had on my heart, it didn't do anything. But when I finally, by Allah's permission, stumbled upon the Quran, I just found myself getting lost in the Quran. I downloaded the app, the English Quran app. And you know how like your phone times out after a certain time when it's idle? Like, you know, after like 4 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. I would read the Quran and I would just get stuck on one verse. In English, of course, because I didn't speak Arabic. I would get stuck on one verse and I would just space out days. I'd be on a prayer mat and just like trying to figure it out. And when I look at it, my phone would just be blank and dark, and I would just find myself contemplating about what this book is trying to say to me. It was communicating to me, Brother Eddie. And by Allah's permission, alhamdulillah, I was able to understand that message. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided my heart. In short, I know you said short, but that was a very long response. I'm sorry, Brother Eddie.
So you went...
Don't put me in a chokehold. Okay.
On a journey.
Yeah.
You went on a journey.
Yeah.
And I found this over the years, interviewing people who've come to Islam, submission to the Creator, not the creation. This is what Islam means, to submit your will to one and only one God, the same way Jesus.
Yes.
And I do this often. I stop because you got a lot of Christians watching, or other people of other faiths and atheists, whatever, who've left maybe Christianity, become atheists because they saw contradictions in the man-made religions and whatnot. So Islam being for all of mankind, a beautiful, complete way of life, people will go all around the world and test out all the different religions. Yes. and then they'll end up coming to Islam last because of maybe the stereotypes, misconceptions.
Definitely.
Like you, even born in a Muslim family, and you're thinking there's probably a lot of Muslims out there right now, like almost, you know, Islam is backwards.
Definitely.
So now what happens, you finally come back to Islam. Mm-hmm. So would you say everyone is born on the fitrah, you know, as a child. So would you say then you end up, you left Islam.
Oh, definitely. It pains me to say this because without Islam, I wouldn't be here. I mean, it's only because of Islam and spreading the deen of Allah and protecting the deen of Allah that I'm even granted such a blessing, opportunity and everything like that to be with you and amongst a crowd of such beautiful people, mashallah, barakallah. But I mean, Islam and me, like, obviously, I'm Pakistani by descent, and you know, Islam was not in my household. I grew up in a very troublesome household, Brother Eddie. And again, this is probably for another time, but just a ton of abuse and just a ton of it was just tough, you know. But when I came to New York on September 11th, and I look different, and I'm a 12-year-old, and I want what any other 12-year-old wants, you know. And I'm being treated differently, I'm being looked at differently, I'm being spoken to differently, I'm being, you know, made fun of differently, I'm being bullied differently. I wanted to get as far as away as I could from that. I mean, that's understandable for anyone. But in that process, I got away from my identity, myself, who I was, because I didn't know who I was. That's a very impressionable time in my life. And I wanted nothing to do with Islam. I wanted nothing to do with my mom, because she would even wear the traditional shalwar kameez, the Pakistani clothes that look close enough to Islam. I wanted nothing to do with that, you know. I did my best to look as Puerto Rican, as Dominican, as Mexican, as someone else as I possibly could. I wanted nothing to do with, I wanted to just be myself. And, you know, it was just a stigma that carried over with me for a while until I got to college, when university. And when I went to university, it just got out of control because I didn't have a character in building time. I didn't have the foundations of Islam, the tarbiyah that a child should have. A child should have. Your child should go to Islamic school and mosque and weekend school, or as much as you could afford, as much as you could do, a halakha program, the youth programs. And that's what the Deen Center is going to do. I'm so excited for that too. And you find the local masjids. And if the masajids are not doing those programs, run those programs. Now, I run a program in Queens as well too. So if anyone's ever in Queens and watches it from there, pull up. We want to save these children. We don't want your child, the mom calling the imam, my child has become an atheist and left Islam. It didn't happen overnight. Where were the telltale signs? Were you reading the red flags? Are you watching what they're doing? I'm a parent. You're a parent. You know. You know, we need to set these programs up, preventative measures and proactive, and teach the tarbiyah of the children. I didn't have that. And I didn't have that identity, that anchoring identity. So I grew up not knowing who I was. And I wanted to be someone I was not. My prophet, a'udhu billah, and I say this, you know, with the most, you know, astaghfirullah, but it was Kanye West. That was my, we're in Chicago, you know, Kanye West. I'm so, Kanye. That was my messenger, you know, astaghfirullah.
Kanye West.
Kanye West. I hung to every word.
You were idolizing Kanye West?
Idolizing is not even the word. I thought I was him. Reincarnate. I loved Kanye West, man. Like, his words were hiffs on my tongue.
Why do you think Kanye West right now is wearing a mask over his head? Have you seen that?
Oh yeah, I did.
What do you think is going on with Kanye?
You see, I think
he's about getting canceled now. Everybody's.
Can I be honest with you, Brother Eddie? Can I be honest with you, Brother Eddie? If I'm being honest about Kanye, and I've made a ton of dua for him as well too, and even when I was
a little guy, Kanye.
I mean, because it can happen as well too. I mean, you know. Not to go into his musical biography or discography, but I've been listening to him since the original time, and his music has evolved, and I was obsessed with music, as any teenager would. And parents out there, your children listening to music, you have someone else preaching to them too. And this is what you don't realize, parents, you know, like, you're giving them the gospel, as they would say, you know, and there's someone else giving the gospel. And Kanye was giving me that gospel. His albums were the books for everyone, not just me, but many, many children, you know. He would hide behind, from even earlier time, look at his ego, his characteristics, right? He would hide behind the persona of looking good and dressing good, but the truth was that he was just insecure on the inside. And he has even songs talking about it, you know, talking about his insecurities, how he can't even go to the grocery store without some clean sneakers and stuff like that, because he's so self-conscious about his image, you know. Now, You have an identity crisis at a young age. You're not given that. And he's growing up in Chicago with so many difficulties, right? Father's not
Kanye West grew up in Chicago?
Absolutely. Yes, Chicago. Oh, Chi-Town. Yes. South side of Chicago.
Wow, I didn't know
if
that.
If I'm not mistaken. Yes, his mom and everything like that too. And so, again, I know pretty much about it. And he had a troublesome childhood. So, again, you know, his idols were who? The rappers, the dope boys and everything like that that's on his block, you know, that he sees in, you know, in Southside Chicago or whatever, wherever he's growing up. You know, he sees that in the culture and the rap and the music that he listens to as well. So now his second album comes out. He has a little bit more clout and everything like that. He becomes even more insecure with himself. His God complex starts coming out a little bit more, you know, starts shouting out, using his voice a little bit more as well, too. But there's no guidance. You know, there's no Quran, there's no foundation, there's no remembrance of Allah, there's no foundation of what a man is, how a person should be, you know, which is the best example in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if he, you know, someone who is sincere, and I implore Kanye to explore this, if he's sincere about, you know, walking in the path of Jesus Christ, peace and blessing be upon him, well then, follow Jesus's path. Pray like Jesus has prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Kanye. Pray like him. Right? Bow your head to the ground, right? Call out to the Father alone. Acknowledge that you can't do anything without God Almighty himself. So go to those things. So third album comes out, more fame, more success, you know, height at his career, approaching the pinnacle of his career, still has that God complex, is coming out more too. And then boom, his mother passes away. Probably the only thing that was keeping him sane, he has a pornography addiction. People don't know this. A lot of people don't know this. But Kanye has a pornography addiction, right? Or at least had one. I don't know. May Allah help him. And there's so many people dealing with pornography addictions. It's such a dangerous thing. You know, yeah. It's such a scary thing. You know, it's may Allah help us all get out of those things, man. I've overcome those challenges myself, so I know what it's like, man. But he has no anchor, no parent who was his anchor, you know. Now his songs start talking more about things that are of the dunya. He talks about in his song how he had a dream he could buy his way to heaven, but he ended up spending it on a necklace. He's chosen the dunya over the deen. He's saying it in his lyrics. And I'm growing up with that too. So I'm choosing the dunya over my deen as well too. I start dressing nicer, start rising up more chicks and girls and stuff like that too. You know? Because I'm trying to be like him. Trying to dress like him, being fashionable like him. And I'm trying to take his personality because I don't have a personality of my own. Right? I'm someone who just follows the trends and I'm a follower. I'm not... So what happens now? His mom passes away. Deep spiral depression. Boom, 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 boom. Right? Doesn't get the help he needs. And people who have mental health issues are prone to mental health issues. Mental health is a concept that's coming out now. But he had these issues from before but never got diagnosed or get help. So now you have the traumatic event of your mother. You don't have that anchor. You start going into dunya more. He starts dating the wrong people. This girl. And I don't want to go into this thing. But, you know, but the thing is this. He's now gone that path. He's experienced the dunya. He's at the height of the dunya. He's had it all. It didn't give him the happiness.
Still not happy. Yeah.
Has the top number one selling sneaker in the world, Brother Eddie. The world. People line up for him. In his music, he called that a seance. He said at the mall, there was a seance. You see, when a person dives into the occult and does the jinn and shayateen and magic and goes into those types of rituals, and they were godly before, and they were Christian before, and they were someone of spirituality before, they come out different people because now they've seen the ugly side. They've seen the devilish side. They've seen the demonic side. They've seen what they want him to do. They've seen what they said that music needs to be about. He had one of his most vulgar and filthiest albums ever called My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Listen to the name of it. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. The cover of that album, Brother Eddie, is him having sexual relationship with a shayateen, with a jinn.
This is Kanye West.
This is Kanye West's first, his fourth studio album, his fifth studio album, excuse me.
So Kanye's having relations
with the jinn.
With Iblis, with the devil.
A jinn, Lucifer, yes, whatever. Yes. A winged animal in a female form.
Why is he doing that?
Because this is a part of the ritual occultic thing that he was into.
But he's supposed to be
a Christian.
Christian.
Yes. So when you go down that path for what? Success, more fame, more money, which he achieved. Didn't give him the happiness, right? So now you realize you got to come back to God. So later on, he goes through an album calling it Yeezus, believing he is God now. So you go through this thing, you're deluded, your mental health is kicking in, you're not right anymore, you're off your pills, you should have been on medication, you needed help, your soul is getting lost. That's what they say, selling your soul, right? He said in the lyric, I sold my soul to the devil. He said it. Kanye said, I sold my soul to the devil. I know it was a crappy deal, but at least it came with a few toys like a happy meal. He sold his soul for the dunya. Now you sell your soul for the dunya, you realize it's not what it was, and you want to come back to Christ and Christian and all that, and now it's a facade, and Allah is making it an example of you as well too. Now, obviously it's his test, right? But the things that he's been saying is out of control, you know? Because that thing that he's talking about and all that, bro, like, you know, like, we shouldn't implore any type of things. He's saying that such and such person is a good person. I support, you know, not, astaghfirullah. Like, what are you talking about, man? You've lost it, right? So he's lost it. And he has no one like Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh didn't want, yes, man, that surah, I believe, Surah Al-Mu'minun, right? Of that one believer who was in the camp of Pharaoh, who opposed him and said, you know, why? Giving him a suggestion, why do you got to harm someone? Because he's saying that he believes in Allah and worship nothing but Allah. Yeah. Why you got to harm someone, right? So he went down this occultic path, unfortunately. It's obvious in his music. He comes out of it. It wasn't what he wanted to do. He's realizing it's all a setup. He's off his medications, the mental health, all things. He's married into a witch at some degree. And, you know what I mean? And he's doing all this occultic Masonic practices and all these things as well, too. Astaghfirullah. He realized it's not what it's meant to be. So guess what happens? He gets out and he's not the same anymore. Trauma. Post-traumatic from what he's seen the world, and now he's promoting Christianity, I think, and now he's saying he's a Hebrew, I think, and he's trying to, but he has respect for Islam, alhamdulillah, but inshallah, may Allah guide him.
I mean,
he needs dawah. We should get Kanye on this show. We need to talk Kanye.
Kanye needs Islam,
and I think the perfect example of someone in which I'm very, very proud of you guys is when you had Brother Andrew Tate. Mashallah, barakallah. Look how Allah guides a heart, you know. Andrew Tate, I find him to be one of the more sincerest brothers out there. Mashallah, barakallah. May Allah bless him and increase him, and you know, obviously he's rough around the edges. We all are, especially in the beginning. Imagine any revert who is. But he needs help. He needs good surrounding brothers. He doesn't need yes men. He needs people who will check him. We all do, right? In the form of a spouse, in the form of a best friend, in the form of a buddy, in the form of the people in the cave.
That's a good point. Andrew Tate needs not yes men, but check men.
Check. Check that's men. It.
Because, but I mean, some people who love him for, you know, and not just anybody, just like, you know, good people with hikmah, with wisdom. Absolutely. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Wisdom is so important, you know, but it's also important for him to have that type of circle of friends. Because
he's the type,
well,
he'll check people himself.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And he deserves to be checked. We all, no one is immune to advice.
And he does say, he says, look, we should stick to the word of God. Absolutely. Go ahead and do things. He don't like when people start changing religion.
Absolutely.
So if God willing, he starts learning more, he starts implementing more, leaving off, you know, a lot of these vices and alcohol and gambling.
Look, once again, we've been through the worst of it, Brother Eddie. We know what it is, you know, like, it's tough to leave a lifestyle, right? Yeah. And Islam is a lifestyle, and whatever conflicts and contradicts with Islam, it's not going to stick. You know, and I think that one thing that Islam did for me is that after I had started reading the Quran and came back to Islam, when I would do a quote unquote sin, something haram, before when I did it, I would just do it and I would not feel guilty. But now when I did it, it felt wrong. And who knows, Brother Andrew Tate is feeling the wrongs of what he might do now. And may Allah continue to open his heart. I mean, look at us. We shouldn't be judging anyone at all. Allah knows what we do behind private doors and behind private screens, you know? So we're not one the wiser and we have no right to tell over, but we can make dua for people and we can ask Allah to use him to help more people and to spread the deen and to complete the favor upon him, upon you, Brother Eddie, upon me, upon everyone out there, everyone watching, everyone listening. May Allah complete the favor upon everyone, because we need Allah's mercy, because without it, we won't be successful in this dunya and we damn sure won't be successful in the hereafter.
So just touching upon Kanye West, he ends up on Alex Jones show. You heard of Alex Jones?
Uh-huh, of course.
So he's on the Alex Jones show, and we want Alex Jones to also get some true exposure to Islam, and I think he needs it too. He's going.
When are you guys
some,
collabing? You guys need to.
Yeah, because he's also going through some problems with alcohol, and you see these people kind of deteriorating in front of your eyes. But Islam is the antidote for all of those problems, everything. And you're a living testimony.
I'm
to
a living
that.
Testimony to. And why wouldn't Brother Alex Jones be dealing with alcohol? And let me say, right, he got canceled. He got charges against him. He got court case and fees. I mean, look, may Allah help everyone. But I know people who are going through, like, court cases with divorces. And may Allah grant everyone's marriage shifa and goodness and protect us all from divorce. But some people are, and they're going through nasty divorces and they're being dragged through court. They're paying thousands of dollars, Brother Eddie, thousands of dollars for a divorce case. You're telling me about a case like that? He didn't come out, and plus they're dragging your name, and plus you were at the height of your thing. And this is in the siha and advice and da'wah for Brother Alex Jones, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he gave to you, he was testing you, testing your appreciation, testing what you were going to do with this platform. Now when he took it away from you, he was testing you. Are you going to be grateful? Are you going to have sabr? Are you going to turn back to him? These are all ways and opportunities for us to turn back to Allah. But unfortunately, shaitan, Satan, through his waswasa, his whispers, comes and turns us towards vices, to lean heavier into the pills, into the alcohol. I used to take pills. May Allah protect us. I know what opioids are like. I know the vibe and the vice and how it feels to just sink in that lazy boy. I know. It feels nice to forget your problems for a few hours, go to sleep, wake up, deal with it later on. I know what it's like. And Alex Jones is no different as well. He's turning towards the alcohol. May Allah help him. May Allah help him. And then eventually your body needs it and craves it and wants it. I'm a school teacher, I told you. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, barakallah. There's kids, vaping is a huge epidemic, huge, amongst Muslims as well. People, children, youth, okay.
Vaping?
Vaping, big problem. Okay, so in school, kids get caught with vapes. I teach in a middle school in New York. They usually have metal detectors. I don't know if you guys are, if that's weird for you guys, but we have metal detectors in our schools, but not in middle schools, only in high schools, alhamdulillah. So they're able to bring the vape. So they would get caught in the boys' bathroom or even the girls' bathroom, like girls getting caught vaping, boys getting caught vaping and all that sort of stuff, right? And people are laughing, putting on TikTok and all jokes, right? But then they get in trouble, suspended and all that sort of stuff. But the truth of the matter is, they're physiologically and biochemically now becoming addicted to that nicotine and chemical in the vape and the oil and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's funny to do it in the boys' bathroom or the girls' bathroom, but they physically need it. They need it. Otherwise, they're going to get a headache. Otherwise, they're tapping I need a smoke, right? So they'll go, can I go to the bathroom, mister? Can I go to the bathroom? This is the symbol in ASL for bathroom, right? Yeah, write you a pass. You go there for extra 3 minutes because taking a vape. And then we're getting find out that you're taking. So, you know, like, people have these vices. So, Alex Jones, you're no different. The alcohol, stay away from it. May Allah help you. Turn, bow your head, Alex Jones, to the Creator. Bow the head to the Creator. Turn to Him. You want a quick number to dial to the Creator? It's called 222. I heard this amazing, amazing reference, right? Two sincere tears. Just tears coming down from your cheeks, right? Wake up in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., right? Read two rakah. Turaka, you're dealing with problems? Your problems worth it? Your problems are worth being solved? Wake up, break your sleep up for it. Allah's testing you how bad you want it. Wake up. You want to get out that depression, that sadness, that anxiety? Me? Wake up, break your sleep up. 2 hours. 2 p.m. 2 a.m. in the morning. Break up. Tahajjud, wake up. Turaka, fresh wudu. Fresh wudu. You know, sin's dripping off in you, Brother Eddie. 2 a.m., wake up. Turaka, sincerity. Cry to Allah two sincere tears, Brother Eddie. Tell me that will enlighten your heart. Tell me that will enlighten your heart. Alex Jones, I implore you. You don't even need to know the words. Bow your head, the words will come. You will speak from your heart, my brother. You'll speak from the heart. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is Ar-Rahman to you. He is merciful to you. You don't even worship Him. You don't even obey Him. Yet He's provided for you. He's Ar-Rahman. But you bow your head to Him. He's Ar-Rahim to you. He's Ar-Rahim to you because you're a believer. You get an extra mercy. He's Ar-Rahim. So, Brother Alex Jones, you're missing out. Brother Kanye West, you're missing out. You've lost your minds because you've went astray, the GPS, away from the remembrance of Allah. And when you forget about Allah, He causes you to forget yourself. So, yeah. Kanye, you forgot yourself. You put a mask over yourself because you can't stand to look in the mirror anymore.
Wow, that's deep. He put a mask, I mean, over his face.
We all wear them, so you might as well just put them on.
Yeah, deep. And the excuse somehow is that, and you can't help because you go to check your email and all this news is popping up, and then you try to see what's going on so you can go ahead and give some advice to other people who are really like you.
Absolutely.
In a state of idolizing people like this.
So, oh, big time.
And they can see, like, the dead end that it hits, like it hit with you until you ended up really turning your life around.
And there's other rappers that people are idolizing. There's a Kanye West for someone else, right? Whether that's for girls, it's the new Ice Spice rapper, right? That, you know, and the boys want to be like, have someone like her, and the girls want to be little thotties like her, right? Or the male rappers who are teaching the boys to disrespect women and to kill people and do these dances where they're stabbing their stomach. In the drill music, they're stabbing people. And they're making songs about this, Brother Eddie, right? Drill music right over here. O Block, what are they saying, right? Killing people music, right? Dawa, they need Dawa. Right now, here in Chicago. Right here in Chicago. O Block, right over here, where they have beef with 63rd Street or someone, whoever it is, right? A person, King Von, getting killed. I believe he was Muslim too. May Allah have mercy on him if that's true, right? Getting killed. They make music about you. That's about your crazy stabbing. Wow. Yes. So there is a new thing, and the fitnas are getting worse because we're coming towards the end of times. It's in the Disney cartoons with the LGBTs. It's everywhere. And it's our responsibility to help the ummah. So what we're doing is that exactly thing. So with our platforms and everything that we do, Sheikh, what we hope, Brother Eddie, is that we can influence people with our children's YouTube channel, with me and my daughters. If you've ever seen our videos, I don't know if you've ever seen one of our videos before, inshallah. We make dawah videos, me and my daughter, alhamdulillah. And our goal is to just make family-friendly content that everyone can enjoy and appreciate, you know? And to help the Alex Joneses of the world and to help the Kanyes of the world, but to help that Khadija of the world get her Islamic identity, you know? To help that Abdullah be proud to say Abdullah and not Abdul, Abdullah. To say Muhammad and not Muhammad, Mo. I want you to feel proud of your name, proud of who you are, proud of being named Khalid, knowing who he is. I want to help by Allah's permission. By Allah's permission, just give immense love to everyone in the world. The ummah, help the ummah. Come together, help the ummah, to save the ummah, to help build the deen center, to help build that center in Norway, to help Allah guide that Quran burner, to help, you know, guide Kanye West, whoever needs the help. We're here, we're open. Andrew Tate, Brother Andrew Tate, we're here to help you. Whatever you need, right? You were here to help him, whatever he needs. We're here to help anyone. Stop making differences. Stop thinking that there's rivals between people. Stop the YouTube beef. And now Muslims have become petty. I don't know if you've ever seen that, Brother Eddie. So many Muslims have become petty now, putting each other's names in the videos, like we're rappers now. And you know, I'm calling out such and such person, and now they're gonna make a video about me calling me out. And we're just climbing the ladder using hate and propaganda and you know, false silly beef. And what is that? Is that how you want to grow? Is that how you want to get subscribers? Is that like astaghfirullah? Like, no. Is that, we're the form of the sea when we do that. We need to put our powers together. Look at this, mashallah barakah. I just have to say this. I know you don't like complimenting yourself and hearing this, but you got to just, please listen, Brother Eddie. IslamNet is not a sponsor of this. They are a organization in Norway, yet you had no problem speaking about them and saying the good work about them. That shows towards your qualities and character, mashallah barakallah. And this is why I know the Deen Center will be done, because your sincerity is what impresses me so much, so mashallah barakallah. And that's what excited me when I first started watching you back in like 2013 or something like that. So just thank you for everything that you do, Brother Eddie. Seriously, may Allah reward you and accept from you, and just continue to use you as a sadaqa jari for this ummah.
Ameen. Thank you, brother. Ameen. So before we wrap up, tell us, you got the Zemzem boys. What's the Zemzem boys?
I'm glad you asked me, mashallah, barakallah. Thank you so much.
That's a cool shirt.
So thank you. So basically, this is a part of our merchandise line right now. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, barakallah. Like, I want to be someone who gives back to the ummah by Allah's permission. And, you know, a lot of the videos that people know me for, by Allah's permission, is like, you know, giving away an iPad, quizzing strangers by Islam for an iPad, or quizzing Muslims by Islam for an iPad, right? And we have a new video coming out, inshallah, called Asking Medina University Students This Question for a MacBook. So we're going to give students of knowledge, Medina University students, a brand new MacBook, so that they can like learn a little bit, obviously, like have better like technology to use to seek more knowledge, and just to help them out and ask them really cool questions about Islam to test their knowledge. But that requires money. MacBooks are expensive. You have a beautiful set, you know how it is. So what happens right now is that I take a lot of people don't know this, right? Because, you know, they might think like, oh, YouTubers make money, this and that. It's actually not true. For example, our rates are really low because of the subject that we talk about, right? So it's not like typical YouTuber numbers. But the way a lot of us earn is through brand deals and AdSense, but specific brand deals. So what I've done is that I don't eat I don't take anything, Brother Eddie, from my brand deal. What I do is that I take that money and recycle it back into the videos, right? So, alhamdulillah, I could do that by Allah's permission. He's allowed me to do that. So, the thing is that when I get a sponsorship, I put it back into the video. I'm able to buy a MacBook or an iPad or something like that, but it's getting expensive. And the things that we want to do, Brother Eddie, require a lot more money, right? We want to help the Ummah at a higher level, right? So this is one video, inshallah, by Allah's permission, we're filming. It's called Knocking on Muslims' Doors and Paying Their Rent. So we're going to go to like a Muslim predominant area that might be struggling or something like that, just knock on their doors and just pay their rent, and inshallah. So that requires money. So what we're doing is that we're selling the t-shirts, and people can go to shopzamzamboys.com and order a shirt. When you order a shirt, which is pretty fire, like you like it, right? Material's fantastic. It has like a little cool, like, you know, logo on the side is what's on it. You can see it's very street, trendy, you know, great material. When you order this, 100% of the profits goes back into reinvested into the dawah. So we get to make cooler videos, you know, and more videos for the youth, and just fun. Like, mashallah, barakallah, what excited me was knowing that your children love my videos, they watch my videos, which is pretty, pretty cool. And to know that I have a demographic that are very, very young excites me, mashallah, barakallah. So I want to make videos for them to help reestablish their Islamic identity and strengthen their Islamic identity. And I just want to make amazing videos with no budget, you know? And I know by selling this merchandise and by Allah's permission, because he's not shy of any means, when you guys buy this merchandise, it will help support the channel, which is what this would do. So anyone interested in the shirt, please shopzamzamboys.com. I'm sure it will be linked in the description as well. So thank you, Brother Eddie.
You're welcome. Thank you, brother, for spending some time with us. We got to cover a lot. Inshallah, this can be a benefit. Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much. And thank you guys very much. And for the Kanyes, the Alex Jones, and everybody else out there, from the person who's cleaning the streets to the person who's a billionaire, and you're still on the same earth and you're seeking to know the purpose of life. And we opened up with the Quran, talking about the Quran, and the man who's burning it out there, he should read it, you should read it. And how are you going to get it? Well, it's my gift to you, thedeanshow.com. go to the website, pick up your free copy today. We'll get you that Quran. And then go ahead and call us. If you have any questions, call us, 1-800-662-ISLAM. We can set it up where you can visit a mosque, connect with your Muslim neighbor, and we'll see you next time. Until then, subscribe if you haven't already. Until next time, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.